This is Paris.
Hey guys, so today we have Monica Aldama. She is the coach from the show Cheer on Netflix, and we are really excited to talk to her today.
I'm more excited less to talk to her than to hear about your past as a cheerleader, Paris. Apparently, well, how old were you when you cheerled? I don't know how to say that.
I was a cheerleader in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
I also feel like, and I think I saw it in the show, all the cheerleaders are like 4'9", 4'10". When did you have your growth spurt? Like, how old were you when you were not 4'10" anymore?
I've always been tall. I was definitely like the tallest cheerleader. Then after, when I went to play ice hockey, I was probably not the tallest. But it was a lot of fun. I love the cheerleader outfits. So it was like one of my favorite parts about it. But we did not do like the moves that they're doing on the show. Like, we like had pom poms and we're like kicking our legs up, but none of the flips or anything like that. Like, that is on another level.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen the show, it is some of the most incredible feats of fitness and of, choreography and dance and power. It's really phenomenal. So I'm excited to talk to her. I guess let's just bring her in. Without further ado, Monica Aldama.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Monica.
Hello.
Well, congratulations on season 2.
Thank you.
How are you feeling since the premiere?
Whew, a little beat up, but we're good.
Yeah, obviously very different seasons, but I mean, what you've had for your team and the all the love that everybody has for you, I think is so rare in any sort of like competitive sport with a coach that becomes famous, you know, that gets that notoriety. Like, the respect that everyone has for you is phenomenal and so beautiful. And I think it really resonates in season 2 as well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. That's why I'm still here, for the athletes that come through.
When did you start cheerleading?
Back in the 80s, and cheerleading was way different back in the 80s than it is now. So we didn't really, like, late 80s, early 90s is when all-star cheerleading started, which is like club cheerleading. So like if you do travel, baseball, stuff kind of related to that. And that really is what has evolved cheerleading into what it is today, because it gave all of these children an opportunity to learn cheerleading from some of the best in the industry since basically birth. And with all-star cheerleading, you compete really throughout the entire year. So you're going to be competing, you know, many, many times throughout the year. So your experience just becomes greater and greater. And when I was younger, I did gymnastics, and then I did school cheer, which was the only kind of cheerleading we really had available. So very different now than when I was younger.
Yeah, definitely. I was a cheerleader as well when I was a teenager, but just watching your show and seeing these moves and the flips and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, this is like amazing. It's like hardcore. It's like something out of like Cirque du Soleil. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's a whole different level. And I, you know, that was one of the reasons that when they approached me back many years ago about doing this show, that I was willing to put myself out there, because I was, you know, proud of the athleticism and the work ethic and the grit that these kids have. And I thought that it definitely was not something that many people knew about, just because of the stereotype of cheerleading and the movies that are made and stuff like that. And we had no idea that it was going to be watched worldwide, but you know, here we are, you know, in 2022.
Yes.
So speaking of 2022, the Daytona 2022 coming up in the spring, right?
Yes.
How do you feel? Cause I got to imagine every season it gets a little bit more exciting as you get closer, but this season feels especially impactful since you missed a whole season.
Well, you know, there's always a lot of stress and a lot of pressure anytime you're in competition season. And especially, I think, when you have a program that is successful and you have multiple wins, the expectation is just that you're going to win, and they don't really realize, you know, how much work actually goes into that and how difficult it is. But You know, we just started back to school this week, so we're on our grind, and we had a great practice last night. We're really excited. Yes, we have a lot more eyes on us, so there is a lot more pressure, you know, to go out there and put out a perfect routine. But you know, we're not scared of the work. We've always been hard workers, and you know, keep it. After the show came out in 2020, the media really was like, there was a lot of talk about that we were going to be not focused and we weren't going to be able to do our best. And honestly, that probably made us work twice as hard, just because we did, you know, we wanted to prove everyone wrong. And once we're in the gym, really all of the outside chatter is irrelevant anyways. We're there to focus and work. And then of course that season got taken away, which made last year, you know, so much more special, but we were just going through so much. It was just, it's been a tough couple of years.
Yeah.
How did you get approached to do the show?
Well, so I don't know if you've ever seen Last Chance U, but it's the same creator of Cheered created Last Chance U, which is about junior college football. And they interacted with the cheerleaders a bit in one of the seasons that they were filming at one of the junior colleges there. And they thought that they were interesting, and they decided they wanted to, you know, research doing a show similar to Last Chance U about cheerleading. And so I got an email from one of those producers, and I had actually just seen the show Last Chance U maybe a couple weeks before that. So it was so weird to actually get an email from one of the producers of that show. And of course, at that time, I thought there was no way in the world our school would even let us do some kind of docuseries, because, you know, I didn't know then how much we're putting yourself out there, but it, you know, you're putting yourself out there. But it just ended up, we had multiple meetings after meetings, and they came and filmed us for a couple of days. So they reached out in 2017. They came out in a couple of days in 2018 and filmed us just to see if we were a good fit for them and they were a good fit for us. And then that led to them coming and filming our 2019 season that was actually season one. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, you talked about that difference, you know, having the fame after that first season, which blew up. Everybody I knew was talking about Cheer, and everywhere you looked was Cheer. And I know you mentioned that the school, you know, you guys had meetings and you talked about what this would mean, but was there anything that even got you close to prepared for what happened afterwards? And if not, how did you prepare yourself in those moments of like realizing, oh, this tidal wave is coming regardless of whether or not we're ready?
Well, no, we literally had zero expectation. Like I said, with the stereotype of cheerleading, I mean, everybody loves football. That's America's sport, right? So watching a docuseries about junior college football seems like a lot of people would be interested in watching that. But cheerleading, we honestly thought, we were just hoping that people in our cheer community would want to watch it just to educate people or just see how hard we work. So we basically went from zero to 100 with no kind of preparation at all. And I don't even think, you know, Netflix had a clue that it was going to be so big. But, you know, we were just basically taking it day by day, because, you know, it started off that first week. Oh, there's some interest with some local news, some local radio stations. And we were like, oh, okay, wow, this is great. You know, we'll do this. And within a couple of days, you know, we were asked to be on the Ellen show. So it got kind of crazy really fast. And I guess the good thing is we were also in Daytona season, so we had to focus on that as well. So we were, you know, trying to keep the outside stuff outside, but, you know, until you walk through it, nothing really can prepare you. And the good thing is with season two coming out, I've had 2 years of reading awful DMs and people, you know, wanting me to die or break my bones or whatever they tell me, you know, so my skin's a little tougher, and I've gotten, you know, smarter about not reading some of these comments and just realizing that people's perception of watching 6 hours of me from months and months of you know, being filmed is, it's just, it is what it is. And so I just, you know, just have to accept it and be strong enough to handle it.
Yeah, that's definitely a good piece of advice to people, because there's just so many toxic trolls who, you know, will spend their time just going on people and writing mean comments. And it's just, I just feel bad for them that they are so unhappy with their lives that they will literally waste their time and try to hurt someone. So
yeah, it's definitely something I didn't know. I mean, obviously, as a normal person, I would read it, but I never paid much attention to. What I did learn is don't believe everything you read.
Yes, definitely.
What did you hear about yourself that you were like, oh my God, that's so untrue?
Oh, so many. I mean, even things like my age, I'm like, that's kind of like an easy fact I would think you could find out. But, you know, when I was doing Dancing with the Stars, they had me 2 years older than I really am. And for some reason, everybody thought I was really tall, which I am compared to my cheerleaders, because they're like 4'10", you know, but I'm 5'5", which for normal people is kind of average, you know, but a lot of people thought I was like 6 feet tall or, you know, I don't know, just lots of really crazy things.
This is Paris.
Well, you kind of opened up about a lot of yourself in your new book, Full Out. After doing the show and kind of experiencing, because you've been coaching for a very long time, and even being a coach before the TV, before the book, there's still a big publicity to being in the cheerleading world, because you have there's so many fandoms in that world. Was the book easy for you to kind of unload? Was it therapeutic, or were you still like every page where you're like, oh, am I really going to say this?
No, you know, I think the fact that when, you know, I talked about my divorce when in the book, and of course I remarried my husband that I divorced, but, you know, during that period, it was like a really big period of growth for me. And I think I realized at that time that being vulnerable is really not a bad thing. It's a great opportunity to grow and, you know, open yourself up. And so when the show came, I think, although I'm very private, that was one of the things that, you know, I was like, you know, it's okay to, you know, I don't always have to be perfect. People can see my imperfections, because I always put so much pressure on myself to be perfect and do the right thing and win and, you know, be great at everything. But, you know, I think when I went through my divorce, I realized, you know, it is okay to be human, and it is okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to not, and to fail at something. But it's what I do with that, you know, is going to determine my character. So I've always tried to like really grow and, you know, take any mistakes that I've made or any challenges I've gone through and just like learn from them and work on myself and not ever put anything back on anyone else. And so writing the book, I thought, you know, that's such an important thing, I think, for us as a society to, if we all could just look at ourselves and not blame everybody else, you know, it would be a much nicer world right now. And so I just really wanted to put some of those things out there. And it wasn't hard to write at all, because I'd already been working so hard on being vulnerable and opening myself up and being okay with not always making the right decision or being perfect in everything.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. So for you, how was it for you to be on Dancing with the Stars? Was that a lot of fun, or was it hard to learn all those dance moves, or what was the experience like?
It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I did not expect it to be. And because I'm kind of went in with the thought, oh, I'm competitive. My work ethic is top notch. I'll practice 24/7. And it was way more than it was a mental game. You know, it was very hard physically, but it was also, I was very intimidated, and I usually have a lot of confidence in myself. So it was just, you know, a big moment of growth and doing something completely out of my comfort zone. And although it was the hardest thing I've ever done, I would do it again. I mean, the funny thing is, people would always say, oh, I bet you're having so much fun. And I'm like, well, fun doesn't come to mind. You know, that doesn't really come to mind when I'm out here. But the experience was amazing. Yes, I would do it all again. It was hard, hard, hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Did any of your cheerleaders come up to you and say, huh, did you enjoy all the hard work you had to put in now? Do you understand what we go through every day?
You know, I'm sure that they were excited to have me have some moments of hard work, but you know, and it is good. It is good to be on the other side when you've been coaching for so long to make sure you do remember. And I've always really tried though to, over the years, like I say, to become a better coach. So I have always worked on that about, you know, trying to speak to everyone the way that they need to be spoken to. Some need a more gentle voice. Some need more discipline or whatever. So it was good to be in that position just to kind of like make myself even better at something that I've already been trying to work on, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, obviously that was a very exciting part of the show, was the Dancing with the Stars, and everybody's exciting. But what I was really surprised with this season is how honest they got with some of the harder parts, you know, specifically, Jerry Harris was so sad to watch that all unfold. And now looking back on it and having that time to reflect and having the show come out and having this renewed conversation about it, what are your thoughts on it now? Is it just as painful? Have you talked to him?
I mean, it will always be painful because, you know, he is someone I love. And so it's always going to be a painful thing to think about or topic to discuss. I think it was very important for the show to cover it because it is a very important topic. And, you know, I think it was great to have an opportunity for the victims to have a voice for, I think the more you talk about things that are wrong in our industry or society or whatever, then it gives people more strength and courage to come forward. I know for sure, like, you know, within our industry, you know, there are many people that are trying to take strides to make it better and a safer place. And, you know, it starts with education. And I know that they've really worked on educating, you know, people in our industry on from athletes to coaches and really fine tune that as things happen that are awful and tragic. We try to learn from it and do better and be better. And so, you know, it was important to have that difficult topic discussed, in the show, they just are showing, you know, things from a year or so ago or whatnot. And just, that's edited down to 9 hours. So I've gotten a lot of, you know, hate on that episode because of one small thing that I talked about as if I was disregarding, you know, the victims in the situation, which is not true. I thought the episode was very important for our industry. So once again, just part of putting yourself out there and having people watch a few hours of your life that's actually 2 years worth of your life, you know. So
yeah. Oh, that was such a sad episode to watch. But I do feel like, you know, you and the team really came together and tried your best. Obviously, the changes that are happening within the organization are obviously needed and good and all that, but it seems like the bond that everybody had, when one person got taken out, it was like everybody realized, like, okay, we're what we have, especially in this crazy world where fame is such a big part of it and everybody thinks they know you and everybody thinks that they're your friend and that they can run up to you and hug you. But it's crazy that you just don't know people as well as you think, and you got to take that time to just, you know, reflect. But the other conflict that happened, which was one of the hardest conversations I've ever had to watch, is you and Ladarius crying, sobbing at the end. Where do you and Ladarius stand now?
We just like with any family, we have our ups and downs, you know, and he's always going to be my family. So, you know, we'll see what the future holds.
Okay.
Yes. What do your kids, Allie and Austin, think of the show?
You know, they're obviously protective of their mother. So they love the show. They love the show, but they also lived it, you know, real time, real life. So, you know, they know everything, you know, how things can be edited, like what actually happened. And so, I mean, they've enjoyed the journey that we've been on. I think sometimes it's hard for them to see your mom, you know, the headlines are, you know, some are great and some are really not. And so, and all the comments and stuff, I mean, obviously that's hard to take in, but once again, they've gotten just as strong as I have. It was a little shocking in 2020 to suddenly go from, you know, not known, only known in the cheer world, to known and being perceived in all these different ways. So we've all had 2 years to process it, to get stronger. And, you know, they're just honestly my biggest supporters. My whole family is. We are like best friends. We would rather sit at home and play games and watch movies together than do anything else. So yeah, my family's my ride or die for sure.
Yeah. Paris's sister and her, you know, what you're going through in this season or these last couple seasons, I feel like Paris has lived through all of that and then some over the course of her.
Yeah. I mean, I've been a big fan of Paris since I can remember, you know, The Simple Life, all of it. So I know that you can't believe everything you read and all of that. So, and I know how, you know, tight your family is. So I love that. Big fan.
Thank you so
who
much.
Who isn't?
I mean, right?
I know. I feel like both of you kind of have this, like, just, it's such a good energy. But I did want to say, maybe this is a good opportunity, maybe Paris, if you have a piece of advice on dealing with this fame. And then I would actually love if you had any advice for Paris on love, since you kind of talk about it so much in your book. And I feel like you went through the ultimate ups and downs and backups, thankfully, because Paris just got married. So I'd love to know what both of your advice is for each other.
My advice would be, I love what you've said during this interview about you know, building a tough skin and being strong and not paying attention to things like that are negative, because it's not good for your soul to even take that in. I think a big piece of advice that I've learned is that you should care more about what you think about yourself than others, especially strangers, because, you know, life is too short and it's just not good to, I don't know, put that bad energy into your life. So just to focus on yourself and your family and the people that love you, and the rest is just noise, and just don't pay attention.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. That's how I've made it through. Honestly, I've done a lot of mat talking to myself. So for sure. My advice for you, newly married, make sure you treat each other with kindness and always speak kindly to each other. Because one of the things that I say is, for some reason, we tend to treat the people we love the most, the worst, when we're under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something that I try to be very careful of right now. When I'm really stressed out, I want to snap at, you know, my family. And I just have to be aware that, like, they're not the bad guys. You know, they're my support system, and that's how I need to look at them. And then when you have kids, just make sure that you remember that as well, because it gets stressful. And that's, I think, the biggest problem with marriage is we take our stress out on each other, and we have to remember to find other ways to take that stress out, and that remember that the people that are there that you love, they're your support system. And talk about it if you have to, like, you know, or if you're really upset, walk outside for a minute, count to 10, whatever you need to do, but don't say anything, because you can't take it back.
Thank you.
It's good advice. Mm-hmm. I feel like for the kids too, like, Monica, it feels like you have such a good head on your shoulders about it, and you have that support system in your family, which, again, like we've seen with so many of these kids who turn to cheer, they're looking for community, they're looking for family, they're looking for that kind of that support. And I'm wondering how you think they've taken the fame, and if you've had to have any talks with them about, like, okay, guys, I know this part's exciting, or this is the people are saying this, but what's the main thing you find yourself or your team having to remind the cheerleaders?
Well, especially the ones that are featured on the show, you know, I think my biggest concern, just because it hit us so quickly and hard, was, you know, to not read into the negative. And because we're not used to that. We're cheerleaders. We're used to uplifting and, you know, being the support. And, you know, in our community, you know, I mean, we were well known just because, you know, we are a successful program. So, you know, we're used to people wanting to take pictures just because they know who you are in the cheer community. So, you know, it was magnified on a whole nother level, obviously, but obviously with that comes a lot more scrutiny. So that was my biggest thing, is just to check in on everybody, make sure they're okay as far as the people that were trying to, not to mention the negative, but also just so many people pulling you in different directions when it first came out. Like sometimes I felt like I couldn't even breathe because I couldn't respond to even the emails, you know, the request. Everybody wants you to send a video saying happy birthday to their cousin's friend that's down the road or whatever, you know? And so, you know, it's a lot. You feel like you're being pulled in a bunch of different directions. So you just have to take time for yourself and, you know, exactly what Paris was just saying, and take that moment to fill your own tank back up, because when you're just being pulled like that, it's too much. But the good news is, season two being released, I had the experience now. The people that were on season one had the experience. So we all were a much bigger support system for each other. And for the new kids coming up, you know, just giving them pep talks like, hey, this is, don't let this overwhelm you. So definitely much better right now than we were that first, when none of us knew what we were doing, but we're definitely a, you know, a big support system, and call each other when, you know, when we're stressed out about something or worried about something, or just the anxiety of the show coming out. You know, Morgan and I've talked many of times here the past couple of weeks. And as a matter of fact, she FaceTimed me this morning and we were, you know, just talking about some different things. So yeah, just having each other lean on, it's been great.
This is Paris. This is 7 Sliving Questions.
So are you ready for 7 Sliving Questions?
I don't know. I'm scared that you won't hit me with it. I don't know.
No, I won't ask you any crazy ones, coach. All right. What is your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve is excuses. When there's an, just own it and apologize. Let's go.
I agree with that.
That's a very coach answer, by the way. If I could have picked one thing a coach would say, it would be no excuses.
It's just so, I like ownership. Like, yeah, I did that. I'm sorry. Okay, good. Let's go. Yeah. Move along.
On a team and relationships, it's so valuable. And yet so few people are really, it just comes from that self-assuredness. It comes from a confidence in your own abilities to be able to do that.
Yeah.
What is your spirit animal and why?
Oh, a golden doodle, because they're just so happy. Not that I'm happy. I know I should probably say something like a tiger or something that's aggressive. But I think I'm in a season of my life where I just want to have calmness and honestly just happiness. That's kind of where I'm at in my life. And so if you look at my Instagram, it only shows doodles right now, because that's like where I go to like find some comfort. I like to watch the videos of the dogs and stuff. So right now in this moment, it's a golden doodle. Maybe 10 years ago, it was like a lion or something.
That was the first time we got that one. I like that.
Yeah. I also love the idea of your life being in seasons. I don't think enough people realize that people change. You change every single year, you could change every day, you could change on the hour. So Paris, absolutely, if you had to be a different spirit animal this year, besides a unicorn, what else are you vibing with?
I haven't even thought about that.
You're a married woman now. You could be, you know, mama bear. You could be, it could be anything. It could be for your business. What are you feeling?
A kitten, because they're so cute. Oh.
You guys make an adorable, the golden doodle and the kitten is a viral Instagram page waiting to happen.
Yes. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Oh my gosh. What? John Schneider, Dukes of Hazzard. I don't know. I met Mario Lopez the other day. I was really like, wow, this was really nice.
Yeah.
He's held up well. He's a handsome man.
He looks the same.
I mean, still looks the same. How? I was, you know, having a moment. So some of those people from back in the day.
And then currently, is it Mario or someone else, your current celebrity crush?
I mean, yeah. celebrity crush. Oh, you know, I don't know. I think I'm just so busy that I don't really focus on that like I did back in the day, but it was very nice seeing Mario Lopez. So, I mean, it brought up some great memories.
You're not spending your days after practice putting up posters in your bedroom and...
No, now I've kind of passed that season of my life, but you know what? I did Dancing with the Stars with Nelly, and I just thought he was the coolest guy ever. He just made you smile when you were around him. So he was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. We'll put him on the list then.
I like it.
Yeah. Cool guy list for sure.
Okay. So what's the kindest thing that someone has done for you this past month?
This past month, the kindest thing that anyone's done for me this past month. All of my friends have checked on me. So first of all, just checking in on me on my, you know, mental health is always nice. I got the dang COVID again last week. Ugh. So my, you know, I was stuck in a hotel by myself for a while. My good friends at Netflix sent me a little gift, you know, just people checking in on me, and it's been nice.
Oh, sweet.
That's really great.
What is the most?
I'll take a gift.
Okay. What is the most rewarding part of your job?
Oh my goodness, for sure, the family that we make. Nothing makes me happier than getting a phone call, a text from one of my former athletes, just saying thank you for whatever, or I'm sorry that I missed class all those times, and now I'm realizing, you know. This or that, or telling me about a promotion they got at work, just whatever it is, just knowing that, you know, they're going to make me proud about something that's going on in their life. And honestly, I mean, you know, I kind of have talked about it before, but when I first started, I was super young. I never coached before. So obviously I wanted to be the best of the best. I put all this time and work and energy and education into how I could be the very best. And I mean, I've proven myself there. So, you know, my why is the athletes, the relationships, and what I offer to them for their futures. And that's why I'm still here. So definitely that would be it.
I love that. Your first kiss, you have 1 minute to tell us everything.
Gosh, you know, I'm old. I don't know if I can think back that far. Let me think. I mean, it was probably, I'm trying to think.
High school, middle school, or elementary school?
Definitely middle school. Okay. I hope my mom's not watching. with probably some stinky boy that I thought was cute. I don't even remember.
Do you remember like your first high school crush? Like, do you remember that first person you fell in love with? Were you like head over heels?
My husband. Yeah.
No, oh, really?
Yes, we were high school. I actually thought he was so cute in middle school, and I would walk to the community baseball fields and watch him play baseball. But we didn't actually start dating till high school. Aww, isn't that crazy?
That's so cute.
That's amazing.
I love stories like that.
Yeah. Well, people want more of that story. Your book, Full Out. I just wanted to mention that again. Everyone go check it out.
Yes, check out her new book and also season 2 of Cheer on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. It was really lovely meeting you. And I really do hope that with all of this press and energy going around Cheer season 2, that you and your team are happy, you know, because it's yeah, not easy to be. I think people take that for granted, and they look from the outside and they go, how could you not be happy with, you know, success and a little bit of fame? But I really do think you guys have a good family in each other, and I hope you use that.
Thank you so much. And thank you all for having me.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Big fan, Paris.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And congratulations and love watching what you do and how much you inspire these kids. It's really incredible.
Thank you.
If you're ever in LA, let us know. Enjoy the rest of your day and good luck at Daytona 2022. Yes. We'll be watching.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to This is Paris. We love hearing from you. So leave us a review. Send an email to paris@iheartradio.com. Leave a voicemail at 833-87-PARIS. And follow us at This is Paris Podcast. Bye, babes.
Follow Paris at Paris Hilton and follow Hunter March, host of E's Nightly Pop at Hunter March.